Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The defending champs are limping into the season opener while taking on a team with hype. We've got three big defensive holdouts to monitor and a head coach telling his starting quarterback to stop kissing babies and start playing football. What a show we have on tap for you today as we welcome you into a Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi out at his office in Ocean City. I'm Stormy Bonantoni holding it down here in Vegas at Circa Resort and Casino. And Michael, we told the people yesterday when the news broke immediately about Travis Kelce hyperextending his knee, that number was going to be on the move for Thursday night football. And boy, was it quickly a 2-point swing. We said, if you want to grab that 6.5, do it now. Now it's sitting 4.5 and the total down from 54.5 to 52.5.
And it's going south. I think once it's official, and I tweeted this out early this morning. Now, you know, I think once it becomes official that he's out and doesn't play, we know his brother talked about him playing on his interview with WIP this morning. That being said, once we get confirmation that he may not play, and even if he plays, how effective can he be? There's swelling in the knee. Mm-hmm. This number is going to get to 4 before we kick it off.
Yeah, so the immediate reports from the MRI yesterday were that the ACL is intact. He avoided structural damage. And what Jason Kelce said on the radio today was that the knee is really swollen and a lot of, you know, his availability is going to depend on how much that swelling is able to come down and how bad the bruise, the bone bruise is. So his availability for tomorrow very much in the air right now. And what you know about a head coach in Andy Reid, Michael, is he's typically in the past been a guy that errs on the side of caution. So do you think it's more likely than not that Kelce wouldn't go and wouldn't risk it?
Well, you got 16 games left after this one. This is against an NFC opponent, which doesn't factor into the other areas, right? So why would you risk this? Why would you risk him getting hurt? And then how effective could he be? Mm-hmm. Here's what happens if you're Andy Reid and you play him and he goes out in the first quarter. Now, all of a sudden, the adjustment has to be really severe in terms of the game plan. Whereas if you go into the game knowing you don't have him, you plan accordingly. We don't have Kelce. We can't run this. We're not running that. We're not doing this. We're not doing that. But you go in and you have them and you're like, okay, well, if we lose them, where are we going? It's a little bit of a complex issue. It's not as clear as let them play, let them not. Because again, you know, there's a perception out there that NFL people just put the players on the field. They don't care about the injury. That's not true at all. Like, I want them healthy and I want them playing at a high level, because if he plays injured, he's not as effective, and that affects our team. So for me, I would err on the side of caution. And I know that there's 16 games left, and if we can get him healthy. There's a reason, Stormy, there's swelling in the knee. Mm-hmm. What I found interesting was when Schefter reported that the ACL was intact, that tells me they thought the ACL wasn't intact. They felt like when the injury happened, he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. And they got great news. They were shocked by the news, because sometimes when the doctor comes on the field and he starts moving the knee around, they have a pretty good idea whether it's torn or not. They got great news. They got a kind of a, oh my God, we dodged a huge bullet. But did they really? Because they need, it's going to need time. There's a reason it's swelling in there. It's not because it's healthy. Something got stretched. A ligament got stretched in his knee, which is causing the swelling, or a bone bruise.
Right. And we are going to talk a little bit later on in the show some different prop betting angles for this Thursday night football game coming up tomorrow night, and adjusting the numbers that we've seen to the wide receiver group specifically with Kelce unavailable. Because, I mean, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is a unicorn type of an athlete. He is rare. He's going to make the most of whoever's out there on the field with him. But because Travis Kelce is a player, Michael, who has been so durable throughout the course of his career, since 2014, he's only missed 3 games. And I want to say just one of them was actually due to injury. If you go through these like the impact that Patrick Mahomes has on the field when Travis Kelce is on the field versus him being subbed out of games or missing a game is very drastic. Mahomes QBR 79, average air yards 8 yards per attempt. With Kelce off the field, the QBR 65, average air yards 6.1 attempt. Including the playoffs, Patrick Mahomes in his career has thrown 227 touchdowns. 211 of them are when Travis Kelce is on the field with him. So the game plan is going to have to be adjusted here a little bit, especially with a wide receiver core that we've talked a lot about this offseason being very unproven.
Right. And, you know, and I think what all those numbers you just gave showed up this preseason. It showed up this preseason because when without Kelce on the field, right? And last preseason, he had Kelce on the field. Kelce had 3 catches for 42 yards last preseason. And last preseason, Mahomes threw the football 25 times in those games. 3 touchdowns. He averaged 8.5 yards per attempt. This year, in the preseason, when he didn't have Kelce and he was trying to go out there as they were trying to manufacture their offense, they looked sluggish. Mm-hmm. He only threw 17 passes. He completed 12. But he averaged 7.1 yards per attempt. They're a completely different team. Mm-hmm. And we get caught up with, well, he's a tight end. No, he's not. No, he's not a tight end. I'll say it again. Here's why he's not a tight end. Because when you look at his numbers, his 63% success catch ratio is that of a wide receiver. Typically, tight ends are in the 70s. Why? Because they catch the ball in the middle of the field. They're always catching the ball in the middle of the field. It's an easier throw. It's better. So your numbers are higher. Wide receivers catch the ball outside the numbers. They're tougher throws. They're more difficult. Kelce is a receiver. Mm-hmm. And so now you take him out of the game, and all of a sudden, Sky Moore is going to feel all the pressure. Valdez Scantling is going to feel all the pressure. Ross is going to feel the pressure. Remember, they don't have Smith-Schuster. Even though Smith-Schuster wasn't electrifying, he still had 78 catches, and he had 101 targets.
And Kadarius Toney's coming off an injury. Throw that in there, too. So
yeah.
That
well,
group...
I mean, I think Toney get – yeah, you got to be careful with Toney because Toney's going to get hurt as soon as – you know, he gets hurt quite a bit, let me just say. I'm not wishing that on anybody, but he gets hurt.
It's unfortunate, but true, yeah. Yep. And speaking to that group as a whole, Michael, career numbers, that wide receiver unit, those names we just mentioned, ranked 30th in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. So again, just reinforcing how unproven that group of guys are. And when we talk about the skill set of Travis Kelce, not only as a wide receiver type player, but the yards after catch are more since, what is it, 2018, he leads all tight ends and wide receivers in yards after catch. Like, that's a huge part of his game. So yeah. I'm talking more than Tyreek Hill, more than Devontae Adams, more than these big name wide receiver guys. Travis Kelce is that. So it's a significant difference. And based on what we've seen on the line here too, Michael, just shows the impact that they feel Travis Kelce has versus Chris Jones, and obviously no slight to Chris Jones, but that number stayed at 6.5 through and through, regardless of whether or not he's going to be in the game, and we largely expect he's not. That where we are in this week, we would have had to have the deal done now, right?
Yeah, he's not playing. Forget about him. But here's why this number, and that's what I said yesterday when I said it would go to 4.5, because Kelce is a receiver. And they don't have anybody. He is their offense. And they move him around. And everything runs through him. And so everybody gets hung up calling him a tight end, which he's not. He's a receiver. He's a legitimate number one receiver in an offense. And the numbers back it up. The only thing that doesn't back up the numbers is his salary. He took a tight end deal, which he could easily say, I should be the highest paid receiver in football. And he has an argument. But now all of a sudden, Andy Reid's problem. How do I manufacture? What do I do? Aaron Glenn no longer has to worry about, okay, we're going to double 87 here. We're doubling 87 here. You know, now he can kind of set his game plan. Okay, let's make sure we take care of Toney. We got Cy Moore. You know, let's make sure we don't let him run the football effectively on us. We'll live on the corners. We'll see if we can cover these guys. It's hard. It's harder to game plan. And I think we saw it this summer. I kept saying this summer, watching the Chiefs, they don't look good offensively. They looked out of rhythm. Now, they got Mahomes, and we understand he's great. But you're going to need more than just Mahomes. And maybe one of these receivers take a mother may I step forward, but it's going to have to happen.
So with that now, Michael, do you have a feel for this game? Like, we talked through a lot of the angles on it, but if are you liking the Lions at 4.5? I'm sure you liked it a lot better at 6.5, but what's your perspective on that?
Yeah. Well, I love that. I love the better at 6.5. I think, look, here's what one of the things that always worries me about this game is the letdown from not from the team that lost the player, from the team that is playing the team, because now they don't have Kelce. This could be easier. We don't have to pay, you know, mm-hmm. you're not as in tuned. You're not as fearful, mm-hmm. right? You're not as worried about the opponent. And so I think it plays off. But look, here's what I do know. If you're going to play against the Chiefs, if you're going to play against these receivers, the best team for the Chiefs to play is Detroit, because we're not sure where their secondary is, right? Yep. We're not sold that their secondary is good enough. And so is Emmanuel Mosley going to play for them? I don't know. Is Cam Sutton going to be able to cover these guys? I don't know. You know, and so that secondary for them is very suspect. Gardner, CJ, is he going to be healthy enough to play? I think those are concerns.
Yeah, they go out and make the CJ Gardner-Johnson addition, and now questioning how well he's going to be able to perform given the injury. And that's a secondary, Michael, that was bottom two in the entire NFL last year in interceptions. I want to say just 6 on the whole year for that group. And at the end of the day, it is still Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and it's hard to doubt that crew in that environment at Arrowhead. But again, the latest line sitting 4.5, 52.5. If you're Chris Jones, Michael, last 30 seconds here. If you're Chris Jones, are you like psychologically, internally rooting for or against the Chiefs in this spot?
I think he's rooting for money. Yeah. I think he's rooting for a briefcase full of money. At this point, you know, he's losing money. And so the only thing that gets it back or says I'm sorry is money. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard for me to think he's rooting for winning. I think he knows that defense will struggle without him. He knows that. If he's going to get paid $30 million, then you know you're worth a lot to the team.
He's rooting for the briefcase, as is Nick Bosa, as is Brian Burns. We have a couple updates on their contract situations. When we return, will they hold out and miss this opening weekend of the NFL season as well? We're going to step aside here on the Lombardi Line. Don't go anywhere. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Our very own Michael Lombardi has just written his second book, Football Done Right, setting the record straight on the coaches, players, and history of the NFL. And now for a limited time, you can get a free copy of Michael's book when you become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Just sign up on a new VSiN Pro annual subscription today and use the promo code Lombardi. You'll get that copy of the book, an entire year of VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, season prep betting guides, 24/7 video, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits. Remember, that promo code is Lombardi. Use it when you sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription to get your free copy of the book. And if you would like an autographed copy of Michael's book, shoot us a note via email. contact@vsin.com is where you can do it. This is a limited time offer, so sign up now at vsin.com/subscribe. Michael, your hand's going to be tired with all those autographs, my guy.
It's an honor. Trust me. It's really that somebody would actually want that. It's really an honor. And I collect autographed books, so I appreciate that. And I always try to, if I like an author, I always try to get it signed. So why not? You know, it's to me, it's a privilege to do it.
It's tremendous. And again, a lot of excitement around the book coming out. Excited to see all the tweets and debate as people start sifting through it.
Yeah.
But again, I know we talked about it a lot yesterday, but just a really incredible feat, especially with everything that you have going on. So something certainly to be proud of. Book number 2 in the bank.
Yeah. Where's book number 3? We got to figure that one out, yeah. Stormy.
Well, as soon as one door closes, another one opens, and you're just on to the next, Michael. Good stuff. We were talking in that first segment a lot about this Thursday Night Football contest coming up, and of course, with that, the Chris Jones holdout situation is a big one. He's already racked up $2 million in fines as his holdout continues. No progress, according to Andy Reid, that's been made on that front. And now, you know, we're hearing similar things with Nick Bosa, with Brian Burns for the Carolina Panthers. For Bosa, Ian Rappaport tweeting this morning, with the first practice of game week upon us, Bosa is not in the building for meetings with his teammates. His status for week one officially in doubt as he seeks the extension.
You know, for me, as I said yesterday, I think at 5:00 California time, if he's not in by then, it's really challenging to play. I mean, it's going to be challenging to play on a Wednesday for them, but it's it's going to be really hard for, I mean, I could see him playing 20 plays, but certainly not a quarter or a start the game. I mean, that's too hard because, not because I don't think he's in great shape or he's been loafing or taking off. It's just your body's not ready for the physicality of it. And you run the risk of getting something else injured, which is always a problem. So I think you have to be really careful there. To me, Chris Jones isn't playing. I mean, he's not suiting up today. If he came back today, it would be to get a game check, not to play.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that all is fair. Let's stick with the Nick Bosa of it all, though, because he is the reigning defensive player of the year. And I was looking into some numbers this morning, and history certainly shows that, similar to what we were just talking about with Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, the 49ers are better when Nick Bosa is on the field than not, and it's significant. San Francisco's 43-17 in games he's played, 4-10 in those that he hasn't, including the playoffs. And we know he's an impact guy. It's a defense that's going to be solid no matter what, but he is the centerpiece of that defense. When you look at their game one matchup taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, where they are a 2.5-point favorite in that game, knowing the anticipation, I guess, would be a good word for the Steelers and what their offense could be this year. What's your level of concern for San Francisco right out the gates on Sunday?
I think even if Bosa was going to be in there, it was going to be a concern. I mean, Bosa's great, and he tilts the field in their favor, but Pittsburgh's a team, and they play very effectively. And I think Pittsburgh showed last year with their ability after they lost to Cincinnati 37-30 that they can protect the football, they play better at home, and they're good on defense. And that's going to be a challenge for San Francisco all the way, whether Bosa shows up or not. So, you know, to me, this is an interesting game in the sense of the way Pittsburgh wants to play San Francisco. How do they want to take them on? You know, one of the things we have to look at in San Francisco is how good is this offensive line with Colton McKivitz at right tackle, with Spencer Buford, their second round pick in 22 at right guard. Are they going to be good enough? Jake Brendel. Now, look, I think they do a great job of coaching the offensive line and they get a lot out of their players. But one of the things that always affects San Francisco is if they get behind in the game. If they have to drop back pass and all of a sudden the pressure's on, Kittle, we're not sure he's going to play,
right,
Stormy. That, you know, we're not sure about that one. And if they don't have Kittle, it becomes even harder because all of a sudden those interchangeable pieces, they lose one. And it's a problem. So, you know, I think Pittsburgh's really a good – I was all on Pittsburgh. I would have taken Pittsburgh and the three early in the year. I mean, it was one of those games that I targeted because I think people are making – way too much out of Detroit, not enough out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and you talk about that new kind of restructured O-line. McGlinchey, of course, no longer there up front. And it was an excellent point, I think, about the way that this San Francisco 49er team likes to play games. Like they, and granted, everybody wants to play from in front, right? But they, the way that they scheme up, they just have a different aura about them when they are playing with a lead than when they don't. Again, the spread in that game sitting 2.5, total 41 out there in Pittsburgh. And now Brian Burns, we see the report this morning that he was named among the team captains for the Carolina Panthers. Frank Reich, when asked in his presser today when he would rule Burns out for Sunday because he was not out there practicing, he responded Sunday, added the extension has not been a distraction, said he's been a complete pro about it, staying in meetings and working out, just not practicing. How concerned should Carolina Panthers fans be about their star in the middle not showing up?
Well, I think they should be concerned because he gives them that pass rush. Plus,
yeah,
you know, Michael Haynes, they put on injured reserve. So, you know, there's a second pass rusher that they had. They were counting on them two being really effective. Now, they signed Justin Houston, but still they were figuring on Haynes being able to really come through and make a difference for the defense this year. But unfortunately, he had to go on injured reserve. And now Houston sitting there on his own at his age, and there's nobody else on the other side. Look, their defense is good. It's not great. But one of the advantages they have now is they have size in their secondary, right? So J.C. Horn can cover, and he's got great size. Von Bell's a big guy. Jackson isn't exactly big, but Jackson can play bigger. And then, of course, they've got Jeremy Chinn, who's their nickelback. They also signed Troy Hill, who's a good slot corner. So they've got coverage people. They're going to need to figure out how to generate some pass rush a little bit, especially losing two of their guys they were counting on. But I think they match up well with the skill level of Atlanta. Atlanta, you know, it's all about Pitts is not a tight end. He's a wide receiver. Who covers Pitts? Well, Horn's big enough to cover Pitts.
I think the concern with Atlanta is because they have so many kind of like new pieces and figuring out how they fit together, it could be just something that they haven't necessarily seen particularly a whole lot. Burns, of course, coming off a career high 12 and a half sacks, made his second Pro Bowl. And the team has talked publicly about their switch from the 4-3 to a 3-4 and him being a critical reason for having success moving forward in that new defense with Brian Burns. And so you mentioned Justin Houston kind of being that only guy off the edge, and he's 34 years old. So I think it'll be a big loss if he's unable to get out there. Shaq Thompson even said earlier this week, everybody upstairs knows he better be out there by Wednesday. He's a big factor in this defense, the one everything starts with. Today is Wednesday, and he's in the building, but he's not out there practicing. Of course, I know you have a personal connection with the Raiders, so I'm not sure how much you feel comfortable on commenting on this, but everything that's going on with Chandler Jones on social media does not seem good.
I think we've seen this before with Chandler. I think he's had some of these episodes before, if I'm not mistaken, when we were in New England. I think when you remember that going back to 2015, I think sometimes, you know, there's been a reaction. Maybe it's something that's upset him. I don't know. But, you know, he deleted all the tweets. He went back. I mean, Chandler's one of these kids that can be extremely vibrant and happy, and then all of a sudden he's not. So I don't know any more details than what I've read. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're going to need him to play well. They're going to need Tyree Wilson, who's really a good player, to play well, too. He got some reps against Dallas, their first-round pick, the seventh pick overall in the draft. You know, he's got a chance to be special, and along with Max Crosby, if they get those three guys going, it'll be a problem for Denver's defense.
Yeah, for anyone who missed it, Jones was airing some of his grievances, particularly on Instagram. Said that was talking about his inability to get into the team's facilities, said he had to resort to training at local gyms, proceeded to say he, quote, didn't want to play for the Raiders as long as McDaniels is the head coach and Ziegler is the GM. So some pretty strong words from a guy that figures to be really important in the progress of that defense and taking steps. Because, I mean, for how many games last year, Michael, were we just saying, okay, it's the Max Crosby show. That's all that they really had. They need to continue to take steps.
You know, it's funny, and he's mad at Ziegler and McDaniels. They're the guys that paid him. I mean, they paid him. They know him. We were all together in New England. And, you know, and so I think that's kind of a little bit of, I don't know what's happened with him. Something may be triggered with him. I don't know the details. But, again, this happened before in New England, and it was a problem. And I think a lot of it starts with, you know, Chandler's got to make sure he's got awareness of what's going on in his life as well.
Yep. Off the field, been some head scratching instances. And it's just 18 months removed now from that $51 million contract he signed here in Vegas. We're going to step aside. The head coach of the team on the other end of that matchup, Sean Payton, had some pretty interesting words for his quarterback, Russell Wilson. We'll break that down and more when we return here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's about that time, ladies and gentlemen. The best Thursday of the year is coming up, and it's all about NFL opening night. Football is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is hooking new customers up with a can't-miss offer to celebrate. Place your first $5 NFL bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Don't wait till kickoff to get in on the hype. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code VEGAS. New customers get $200 of bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. That's the code VEGAS, only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. We've talked a lot about Thursday night already, and just while I was in the commercial break typing around on the computer, saw Chris Jones, who, of course, we've talked plenty about the holdout, him missing tomorrow's game at the Ronald McDonald House, had no comment for reporters, just said he wants to be a Chief for life and hopes they get it worked out. Nothing beyond that, though, Michael, just keeping it short and sweet.
Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, here it is. It's Wednesday. This is the Saturday before the Sunday game. So, you know, they'll have 10 days before they play their next game. So maybe they can get something done. It sounds like they're trying. But as Andy Reid said, you know, there's not a lot of hope. I mean, look, they're far apart. I'm surprised the Bosa's deal's taken this long because, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of it. But you would think that there's kind of a parameters that you can get to get a deal done. And, you know, the Brian Byrne one's actually harder because how good is Burns? I know he's a good player. They didn't want to trade him. They didn't want to put him in the deal to the Bears. So we know that. But, you know, what are they willing to pay? And, you know, David Tepper's not exactly a guy that's, you know, you can kind of force into doing a deal. He's a hardened businessman.
Yeah, and I think everybody's kind of sitting there waiting for Nick Bosa because Brian Burns, while he's not expecting Aaron Donald money the way that Bosa and Jones are, Bosa is going to kind of set the tone for how high maybe that Burns can go in that upper middle area of contracts coming up. And then Jones, of course, wants to be the highest paid. So it's a very interesting thing. We'll see how the dominoes tend to fall, but I need Nick Bosa back on the field as a 49ers fan. Stat. Before the break, we were talking about Raiders, Broncos, and there is a new sheriff in town in Denver, goes by the name of Sean Payton. And he, in a story with ESPN this week, kind of going behind the scenes with the team a little bit, he had a pretty interesting thing to say to his quarterback. In addition to, you know, helping him decode what's going on before the snap, also said, in order to salvage his career, he needed to focus less on Russell Inc. Quote, will you stop kissing all the effing babies? He said, you're not running for public office. What did you think when you first heard this, Michael?
I thought it was good. I think he's being really honest, right? And I think he's right. I mean, it's you want to be a social influencer or do you want to be the best quarterback in the league? You got to make that choice, right? You know, and I know his wife is an entertainer and if he wants to go down that road, but what I like about Sean is he's taking the filter off, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's no longer, you know, he said he's in his Fox mode, but I don't remember him even being this forward at Fox. So I think it's good. I think it's what Russell needed to hear. I do think, and I've said this on the podcast, and I'll say it again, I think Russell's on a short leash. Mm-hmm. I think Russell's going to have to show Sean he's going to step up in the pocket. He's going to take a hit. He's going to run with the football. He's not going to look to go right or left. And he's going to be able to run this offense effectively and do what the design of the play has in mind. This let Russ cook notion isn't going to be cooking.
Yeah, and Russell, in his decade-long career, I mean, what we saw last season on the field was a far cry from any of the successes that we've seen in the past, like far and away the worst season that we've seen from him. And that's the big question that everybody has, that like their success in Denver is going to be very much so contingent on whether or not you can get Russ fixed. And to your point about him having a short leash, what like do you have a game number in mind as to what that leash could be, or is it more just kind of a game by game, let's feel this out and see if he's making progress?
I think it's game by game. We had this here and we didn't do it, and all of a sudden those cumulative effects of that become a problem. And so the more he's involved, the more, I'm not saying he has the winning game. I think even if he's losing games, if they're winning games and he's not playing to the level that he needs to fit within the system. Now, he's not going to get blamed for everything. I mean, Sean's too good of a coach to put the blame on him. It's like, you know, Dak Prescott gets blamed for all the interceptions when some aren't his fault. Sean's smart enough to know that. But when there's plays to be made, when there's meat on the bone, you got to take it, and he's got to handle it.
Still, I feel bad, and I know you made the point about the comments that Sean Payton made about the previous regime and him having his Fox hat on, but I still can't help but laugh a little bit when I think of it. It's the worst coaching job in NFL history. Like, okay, so whatever we do this year is going to be better than that. At least you know that much. Let's go to another, let's call it a quarterback situation in Arizona, because the depth chart comes out yesterday where we see the either or for quarterback. Everything else is lined up on the depth chart as normal, but then you see Josh Dobbs or Clayton Tune. I know we've talked on this program about Arizona bringing in Josh Dobbs for a reason, but he's had such limited time with the playbook and the group. Do you feel like he'll still get the start despite the limited action given his connection?
Yeah, I think he should. You know, to me, he's limited, but he also has been involved with the offense. You know, now I know Clayton Tune's been there since the summer, right? And so, you know, he should have an idea about what's going on. But, you know, you walk in that FedEx Field, it's going to be kind of a strange place to walk into, right? Because it's going to be sold out, mm-hmm. right? There's going to actually be fans in the stands. I mean, that's a shocker, right? And he's going to start his first game. you know, and is he going to be able to make this offense go? I find that hard to believe as a pure rookie. I mean, if he starts, we have Young, we have Stroud, we have Richardson, you know, Sam Howell's technically a rookie. There's four, and now this would be five. I don't think you want those five on your card when you turn in Circa this week, Stormy. I'm just guessing.
Okay, so speaking to the commander side of this, is it bad that what you said about the environment makes me that much more interested in Washington? Like, I know anything can happen week one, especially look at what we saw in college football. It was wild with some of the upsets that we saw. But, hey, they're actually going to have home field advantage this year. It's a little bit different.
And they actually have a good team. I mean, like, we talk about them as if they're horrible, right? And their defense was really good last year. We know this. Like, they played – they should have won more games than they did. Now, I know if you want to make the argument that, hey, I don't trust Ron Rivera, I'm with you. I'll sing to the background music on that with you. No problem. But to me, you know, they had a chance to win so many games. I mean, they were the best team on third down in the National Football League. They were in the top 10 in red zone defense. So they did some good things that we just tend to dismiss. You know, when they went off on the bye week in December, at the start of December, after they tied the Giants in a game to where they gained 411 yards against the Giants. Think about that. Mm-hmm. And now they turned it over and they lost the game. They tied the game 20-20. When they come back, right, the next week they have a bye. They play the Giants again. They put another 387 on the board. The problem was they had two red zone turnovers. And the Giants got 288 yards and didn't turn the ball over. Again, we're back to the Dabo Sweeney. I'm confused why we lost. It's weird. No, it's not, Dabo. You turn the ball over. That's why you lose. This is the perfect example of it, right? I mean, you know, call Ron Rivera up if you're not sure why you lost. And that's what happened. They turned the ball over. They turned the ball over eight times in the last four games, and they end up 1-3.
Yeah, and I'm with you on the thought process, too, when it comes to the Commander season win total. If they're able to put just a little bit more together, that season win total sitting at 6.5 feels a little bit low. And I'm excited to see what Eric Bieniemy can bring to this group, especially after, I don't want to say he's been doubted because of all of the success we know he's had with the Chiefs, but everybody gives Andy Reid credit for that success. So can Bieniemy kind of put his stamp on things? We also saw the report from CBS Sports' Jonathan Jones that they are optimistic Terry McLaurin should be okay and good to go week one, given that toe injury he sustained a couple weeks ago during a preseason game. He's evidently responded pretty well.
It sounds like he's going to play, right?
Yep.
And so we've seen this line move, right? We've seen it go from 6.5, and it's painted 7 across the board. Do you think that do you think if Clayton Tune's the starter, it goes to 7.5, or do you think it's now the total has gone way down too. The total opened up at 41. Now we're down to pretty much 38 here at the total in New Jersey DraftKings.
Yeah, not a lot of confidence in these offenses, it appears, from the total perspective. But I don't think that the quarterback, whether it's Dobbs or Tune, makes a big difference in the point spread, at least not for me, Michael, because, yeah, Tune has been there for a while, but I'm not sure he's the guy, and I've seen him up close and personal, covered a number of Houston games last year. I'm just not sure he's got the tools to make that big a difference with the guys that are around him on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
And then Josh Dobbs, yes, I know that he has a relationship with that staff, so maybe some of the verbiage is easier for him to get ingrained in, but having such limited time with those people around him, I think kind of evens the playing field between he and Clayton Tune as to what they'll be able to bring to the field. Okay.
I mean, look, here's the other concern I have about this game, and I know we got to go to break. Can they block Washington? Can they block them? I don't think so. I think that this offensive line with Paris Johnson, the rookie at right tackle, DJ Humphries at left, I think it's going to be hard to block them.
Hard to block them. Easy for us to actually have games to talk about, which is pretty nice. We'll talk about a few more when Harry Gagnon joins the program next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all of the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro Picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. You can sign up for just $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. Among those picks will be one from our guest who joins us in just a moment, because before we welcome in Harry Gagnon to the show, let's show a cartoon version of Harry in a crop top who's here to drop his first pick of the NFL season.
And that is the way the cookie and the truck crumbled.
Who could that be? Football, you're back!
Harry, look at you! Did you get a haircut? Hey, who the hell is this?
Oh, that's just Cliff Kingsbury. He got fired and I'm letting him crash with me.
He better stay the f*** out of my room!
You're here just in time for me to give out my first pick of the season. I haven't been this excited since they cut my hand at Benihana and we got a free meal. I'm taking the Lions +6.5 in Arrowhead against the Chiefs. Iguna Yaba Gita Jared Goff.
Ah!
Sorry, Cliff. Go Lions, restore the roar.
Hakuna Matata.
I don't know what I just watched, but I know I enjoyed it. Harry Gagnon, welcome to the program.
Look at Harry. We got him on camera, too. Wow.
This is
a big day, Stormy.
There we go. That was not safe for work, though. We had to have a bleep, our first bleep on the program in a while. How are you, Harry?
All good, guys. How's everything with you guys? Ready for football?
Oh, yeah. Always. Yeah. Always ready for some football. But for anyone who this is their first time joining us, Harry Gagnon, former Vegas sportsbook supervisor, now host of the Against All Odds podcast. Now, we see that pick, +6.5. We now know, of course, it's +4.5 with the news that it feels like Travis Kelce's not going to play in this game with the injury he sustained at practice yesterday. Still like the 4.5. Where do you sit with things now?
I do still like the 4.5 here. Look, I think, guys, more than anything, when the NFL came out with this first game, NBC and NFL are no dummies. They made this. They could have thrown anybody, and they could have thrown the Eagles in there who play Kansas City. They could have thrown anybody else. They threw the Lions in there, knowing that this is a possibility of a 38-10 blowout. But I don't see that happening here because they are not going to put the Lions in there and let this game get away from them. This is going to be one heck of a game. Goff, when he got traded to Detroit, was basically left for dead. Had a fantastic second half of the season, guys, as you know, last year. Last 9 games of the season, 15 touchdowns. 0 picks. They went 8-2 down the stretch the last 10. Got rid of DeAndre Swift as he went to Philadelphia, but they love this Jamar Gibbs rookie from Alabama. He's going to do a lot of fantastic things there. I think he's going to have a huge season. Secondary made some moves in the offseason. Aiden Hutchinson, 9.5 sacks in his rookie year last year for the Lions. Like I said, no Kelce, still no Jones for Kansas City. I think that's going to allow Gibbs to get to the outside and catch a lot of passes too. Dan Campbell has the team believing, the whole state of Michigan believing. I love Detroit in this spot. They are not going to let this game get away from them with no Kelce. I'd love to. I want to see how Patrick Mahomes responds if there is no Travis Kelce here. I love the Lions with the points here, guys.
Yeah, are you a little worried about? Look, if there's going to be a game you don't have Kelce is, and you look at this Lions secondary, which is. Not exactly. I know they put a little money in. They signed Cam Sutton. They signed Emmanuel Mosley. But you think they're good enough to really cover whatever receivers the Chiefs put out on the field?
I think they am. I think they are, Mike. I love the pickup of Mosley from San Francisco. He did tremendous. I know he got a little banged up at the end of the season last year, but he did a lot of things on that San Francisco defense that didn't allow teams to continue drives. And just, again, I think this Lions offense is going to be a top 5 offense in the NFL for the whole season. They were definitely the second half of the season. I think it extends into the whole season this year. I'm all in on Detroit. I love them for the division. I love them over 9.5 wins. I love, like I mentioned before, I love Gibbs over 590 yards rushing. I think he hits 800, Mike.
Well, and speaking of Gibbs, I know you're high on him for this game specifically as well. We heard the Lions offensive coordinator say he's going to be used in, quote, ways people don't quite think we might, which could indicate a little bit more in the pass game for him. So we've seen that rush, that passing receiving. My goodness, I do speak for a living, Harry. We've seen that receiving yards prop tick up from like mid to low 20s to now north of 30, 32 and a half is what I'm seeing right now. You like the approach of his receptions, though. How did you play it?
I do, Stormy and Michael. I like Gibbs over 3.5 receptions. Got to lay a little here at minus 130. Again, no Jones for Kansas City as it looks right now. So he's not going to be coming from the side. It's going to make it easier for Gibbs to get out in the flat. If Goff can't find anybody downfield, he will have Gibbs available. And then Bama, he was a third leading receiver last year. He had 44 catches for the Crimson Tide. He can do both. I love over 3.5 here.
All right, let me give you a stat, Harry, before you get to your next pick. Daniel Jones versus Dallas, two games last year. 41 of 72, 424 yards, 56.9% completion, 5.9 yards per attempt, one touchdown pass, 212 yards a game. And yet, you are going with the Giants taking the 3.5 at home. Does this have anything to do with missing Springsteen in the Meadowlands, or just you want to pay it back? What's the deal here?
I miss Jersey Curl, too, Michael. I miss Jersey, too. My favorite.
That was a great set list. That might be the best set list. The September 3rd set list is the best set list of the whole tour.
It was tremendous. But look, guys, I'm taking the Giants Sunday night, division game, getting more than 3 at home. I'm going to take that all day. I know I mentioned a few AAOs ago that New York is due to take Dallas down. They've lost 4 in a row to the boys. Both losses last season were one-score games, guys. I think it's time. This is time. Look, Daniel Jones got paid, right? He got paid. Let's step it up. Let's do this. Let's overtake Dak in the division, game one in prime time. And defensively, I think the Giants get big, big games out of Kayvon Thibodeau and Dexter Lawrence. I got the Giants winning straight up, guys. 26-24 Giants.
Yeah, and I want to say Mike McCarthy 0-3 in season openers as head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So just adding a little more oomph for your side there. Let's go to college football here, Harry, these last couple of minutes. A number of good games on the schedule this week, including Alabama, number 3 team in the country, hosting number 11 Texas on ESPN. That's a 4 Pacific time kickoff, 54.5 your total. Bama's offense looked great with Jalen Milroe in that opening game. Granted, it was against Middle Tennessee State, but still the quarterback, who had a lot of questions about him, accounted for 5 touchdowns. Now taking on a Texas team that certainly played Alabama to the wire last year in a 1-point loss for them. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, Milroe played great, Stormy. And I think, look, I'm the farthest away from being a Nick Saban fan overall. But I can't stand Steve Sarkisian even more. Saban is 38-2 straight up versus coaches who have previously been a coach on his staff. Texas played tough last year in Austin versus Bama, but this game is in Tuscaloosa. Longhorns are 0-4 in the last 4 in regular season versus the SEC. I watched some of that game against Rice in Texas last week. Rice shot themselves in the foot second half. They didn't look good, Texas, in the first half offensively. And Bama, last 21 home games, 21-0 straight up, 19-2 winning by 7 or more. Bama minus the 7. They lay it on Texas.
We got about a minute, Harry. Nebraska, you're not buying the Deion love, are you? You're going to take Nebraska in the points, huh?
Not buying it. Look, I know, Deion, listen, he didn't hold back in the postgame interviews, that's for sure. But I mean, Deion, you've been there before. Act like you've been there before. I know that you're pumped up and everything, but it's only been 1 week. Everybody jumping on the Buffs bandwagon, Nebraska blowing the game the way they did, Matt Rhule did, against Minnesota. Everybody going the other way. I think that's been a 7-point swing already. I'm not buying it. Nebraska's defense last week averaged just 2.2 yards a carry against the Golden Gophers, gave up just 4.5 yards per reception. Deion and his son have a tough game, too. Listen, TCU's given up 100 points last 2 games, by the way. So Nebraska in a stunner here. Who's Everyone counting? Else is going to be taking Colorado. Give me Nebraska 24-19. Colorado's offense goes down.
Harry, love having you on camera today. Great stuff, as always. We'll talk
Great
to you next
job,
week.
Great job, Harry.
You guys are the best.
Love
Thanks.
The cartoon. Thanks, Harry.
Yeah. Thanks. Take care, guys.
That thing was good. Not safe for work. Michael, okay, when it comes to Colorado, I got to tell you, I'm hoping that they win this game coming up, though. I'm hoping that they crush Colorado State so that we can come back on Oregon in week 4. What do you say?
I think it's going to get harder, but I do know that Deion understands this, right? I think he knows it's hard, and every win makes the next one harder.
Yep, it's going to be an interesting thing to monitor. I think I need a little bit more of a sample size before I can make a decision one way or another on the Colorado Buffaloes. We'll be right back on the Lombardi Line.